really long, but it's worth twice as much. Okay. Let's talk about... No such thing. Let's talk about quickly what we're doing today. This is the first of two parts again. Something that you probably didn't do before in any other course, which is blotting. You've done electrophoresis before. But what is it that blotting accomplishes? What's the blotting step do? Now, the separation of the proteins is what electrophoresis accomplishes.
It allows you to visibly see the separation.
I couldn't hear both of you at once. So.
It makes them available for the antibody.
It does, but that's because of what? What happens in the blotting procedure? Well, it's more than that. Your proteins are not going to even be in the gel anymore for the blot.
They're taken out of the gel and put onto the blot.
Yeah, that's why it's called a blot. The membrane that you use in the blot is what is going to receive the proteins. Right. A polyvinylidene fluoride membrane. Now, what kind of blot are we talking about? There are different kinds of blots. This is a Western blot, right? And that word Western is meaningless. It's just a play on words. Because the first blot technique to be developed was developed by a dude named Southern. So it was called the Southern blot. Still a blot that's used all the time. But just to be cute... A variation on that theme became the Northern blot, and then a variation on again was the Western blot. So it doesn't really have any meaning beyond that. But what is blotted in each of them is different from each other. We're using a Western blot, which is what are we actually going to blot? Right, the proteins that come from where? From, well, what are you calling your samples? What are your different samples fractions called? Yeah, your fractions. You're going to electrophorese those. That's what separates them, because they'll travel at different speeds through the gel. And so you should be familiar already with this chamber. It's the same one you used in 354. And this uses what kind of gel? It uses a polyacrylamide gel, which means if you do electrophoresis with that, that is PAGE, right? PAGE means polyacrylamide gel electrophoresis. But not all PAGE is SDS PAGE. Only if you use sodium dodecyl sulfate is it SDS PAGE, right? We're not doing that today. We've done that all the other times you've used polyacrylamide gel. But we're not doing that this time. And what is it that we don't want to happen that SDS would cause? Denaturation. Yeah, there's two major reasons that you use SDS. One is that it evenly coats the proteins with negative charge, so it eliminates charge as a variable. But it also is part of the denaturation process. And we don't want to denature these proteins. We want them to be in their native conformations, how they are in the actual cells. That's why we're conducting non-denaturing polyacrylamide gel electrophoresis. Other than that, it's the same old story as far as the setup. You're using the same kinds of cassettes. The ingredients are different, but they look exactly the same when you load them. And so your gel will be in there vertically in this chamber, right? You load the wells at the top, and then according to how big they are, they will electrophorese through the length of the gel. That's the first part. And you're doing that in duplicate. So each of the two groups will do two identical gels, using the same samples and the same number of wells. Why are you doing two identical gels?
One representing capacity low and to view it, the other blotting.
Yeah, you're going to do two different things with those two gels. One of them you're going to stain, and so you don't skip the wash steps as usual. Don't put the stain right in as soon as you get your gel out. Wash it three times with water for a few minutes each. But once you put your squirt of stain on them, and put them on the dancer, The belly dancer, you're done with that part of the gel. The other gel, though, is what you're going to use to blot. And so you're going to have to use a different kind of chamber that's basically the same size, so don't mix them up. They're the ones that are already running over there. It's a slightly differently shaped chamber, but what's really different about it is the electrode setup and the cassette that holds your gel and the rest of the sandwich. Your gel is just one of the ingredients in the sandwich, right? You have filter pads, filter paper, the gel, and the membrane itself, the polyvinyl iodine fluoride or whatever it is. That is what the proteins are going to move from the gel onto. So they've moved this way through the gel lengthwise first in electrophoresis. Then when you put them in that chamber, the voltage is going to be applied this way. So they're going to move through the thickness of the gel rather than the length of the gel, and they're going to go right to the surface and then on to the membrane itself, which is right up against the gel. So you basically can't run these long enough, I mean overly long, because they'll just stop at the membrane and won't go any farther. So those will be run overnight, and all you have to do is set this up properly, and then Roz is going to be stuck with the job of taking care of all that stuff tomorrow, including your stained ones. But that's the setup for today, and it's really just a matter of making sure you're using the correct stuff in the correct parts of the protocol. We should have plenty of buffer on ice. The stuff on ice is what you should use when you do the blotting in that different chamber. But the room temperature buffer, just use for your electrophoresis as usual. That doesn't have to be cold. Now, is there anything else I wanted to add? I don't think so. Any questions on why you're doing it? Oh, no, I do want to add something. Just blotting it is a technique in itself. So, I mean, that you probably haven't blotted before in other classes. But why are we blotting it? Why do we want to bother putting it on to the membrane? That's true. Right. In other words, we're doing a sort of immunoassay. Now, you can visualize the bands in a gel once you stain it, right? They're invisible until you stain it, but after the staining, you'll see the bands appear. That shows you where the proteins are. But it doesn't, you know, all that does is tell you relative sizes, because the size determines how far they have electrophoresed, right? It doesn't tell you what those proteins are necessarily, right? So two proteins could be exactly the same size and shape, and therefore electrophorese exactly together, but only one of them might be one you're interested in. Or they could separate from each other but be very close to each other, and you don't know which one's which. By blotting them and then treating them with an antibody, which is the immunoassay part of it, since you are looking for a particular thing, you choose a particular kind of antibody. Antibodies are proteins that are able to recognize what kinds of particles, what are the particles called in general that antibodies can recognize. Well, functional groups could be part of what they recognize, but the general name for an antibody something that is recognized by an antibody is antigen. Antigens are what antibodies recognize, and antigens are just foreign particles of some sort, which is why your antibodies want to recognize them as not being part of you. Well, they're useful things because of their specificity. So if we have an antibody that we know can recognize exactly the type of protein that we're interested in, and we blot the proteins from the gel to the membrane, all those proteins get blotted. We treat that membrane with an antibody that looks for just the protein we're interested in. That means those antibodies are only going to stick where exactly that protein is. The rest of them will be washed away. And if that antibody is associated with something that is visible somehow, like a fluorescence, then it'll tell you exactly where those proteins are.
I think the book is talking about the ice designs and the H4 and the
You're talking about, yeah, the isozymes that come from the heart or the muscle, and which is part of your trial tonight. You're given samples of those. But the reason they're isozymes is because they do exactly the same job catalytically. They operate on the same substrate and do the same reaction, help the same reaction out, but they work, they're not exactly the same protein. They have different shapes, different amino acid sequences, and therefore they work under different sets of optima. So one of them might work at a higher temperature and one might at a lower temperature, or they might work at different pHs or whatever the case is. They're doing the same job but under different conditions, and therefore that's why you'll find them in different tissues, because different tissues have different environments.
And is that why you see the different bands?
Well, you see different bands anytime you have different proteins,
right?
Because they electrophorese differently.
But within the same column.
But within the same, yeah, if you have two isozymes, they're going to band out differently because they, for the same, if you put them in the same conditions, they'll have different shapes. Well, what enzyme have we been...
LDH.
Yeah, that's what we care about mostly in this whole term, right? So it's the same old story. But, I mean, the technique you can use for any protein you want, as long as you have the antibodies that are specific for whatever you're looking for.
Well, we're not looking for any of those, but I guess we're looking for any...
Yeah, we're basically doing this just as a technique, just because it is an important technique in biochemistry. Anything else? All right, well, let's go ahead and get done.